The director of Brian's Planned Parenthood steps down, and it was all because of a life-changing change of heart.
Enter Abby Johnson, the former director of Planned Parenthood in Bryan, Texas.
She said that the bosses pressured her.
And I said, okay, wait, guys. Shouldn't our family planning numbers be so high that our abortions would be decreasing? And my supervisor said, you know, Abby, you've really got to get your priorities straight. Abortion needs to be your priority because that's where our money is.
Abby Johnson took a journey from Planned Parenthood to pro-life.
I was thinking about all of the women that I had lied to. What if they had known the truth? It's not just some tissue. It is a baby.
Abby Johnson has indeed made headlines lately with her stunning inside exposé of Planned Parenthood based on her personal experience, and her eyes were opened wide by what she saw. Today, you'll hear her story as Life Issues presents this radio special, A Change of Heart, One Woman's Journey from Planned Parenthood to Pro-Life. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and our host is the Executive Director of Life Issues Institute, Brad Mattis. Well, Brad, what was your first reaction when the news broke about Abby's revelation?
Well, the first thing I thought of course, Bill, was joy. Not only in that we had a changed heart and mind on abortion, but who this individual was. Goodness, she was the director of a Planned Parenthood abortion mill. She had been there for 8 years, worked her way up, and was in charge of the facility. She was giving credibility to what we've been saying for years about the abortion industry, and we were very excited that it was coming from such a high-level, credible source. When I sat down with Abby, the first question I asked her was, how did Planned Parenthood sell her on what they had to offer?
She started telling me how if abortion was not legal and Planned Parenthood clinics weren't around, that we were basically going to be sending women to these illegal places and women were just going to be dying. And I thought, well, gosh, that just sounds horrible. And, this sounds like something I really need to get involved in.
And then I asked what position she held on the issue of abortion.
I do think that I was pro-choice. I was for a woman making the best option, choosing the best option for her. Many of my colleagues, now looking back, I would say they were pro-abortion. You know, there were times when women would have an ultrasound. After talking with one of the educators, they would decide that abortion was not the right option for them. And so they would decide they would want to parent. And that made me happy. I would think, that's great. They're making the best choice for them. That would make some of my coworkers angry, because they weren't choosing abortion and they didn't think that was the best choice for them. And, looking back on that, it makes me kind of realize that a lot of people that consider themselves to be pro-choice are in fact pro-abortion. There's not very many people that work in abortion facilities that are in fact for choice.
So it seems pro-choice is Planned Parenthood's mantra, but apparently not the reality. Brad, what's the real motivation here from what Abby Johnson just said?
Clearly, it's not pro-choice. It's pro-choice if it's my choice. And their choice is always abortion because that's where the money is.
And as an insider, Abby was certainly in a position to know what life was like inside a Planned Parenthood facility. Did she address that in your conversation?
Yeah, what she really showed us, Bill, is that environment there is a very tough environment in which to work.
It's a tense work environment. There is tension about people talking about where they work. The people that work there, in a sense, are ashamed to tell people in the community where they work. And that came up a lot if we were talking about, just meeting people in general, or attending church, or just being out in the community, and somebody would say, where do you work? And somebody, instead of, proudly saying, I work at Planned Parenthood, they may say, I work at a doctor's office. So there is a sense of shame about working at a clinic that provides abortions, working at a clinic where the name is so synonymous with abortion.
Abby, at what point in your work did you realize that priorities were all wrong?
Every month, we would see that the Family Planning Corporation, which family planning is everything but abortion. And we would see that that number for the family planning, that budget number, just kept getting more and more in the negative. And it was really discouraging because our family planning clinics were really working hard and that number just kept increasing in the red. But, you know, they would say, but thank goodness for our abortion centers because they're keeping us afloat. And then my boss started hounding me about increasing our abortion numbers at my facility. And she said, you know, we've just got to get more women in here for abortions. And when I looked at our client goals, every center will have numbers that they want you to meet over the year, over the fiscal year, which kind of is sick that they want you to have a certain number of abortions that they want you to do. I saw that my number of abortions that they wanted me to do had increased by almost 60%. And I said, okay, wait, guys, isn't this kind of the opposite of what we want to do here? I mean, shouldn't our family planning numbers be so high that our abortions would be decreasing? I mean, isn't that what Planned Parenthood is about? Aren't we about prevention? Aren't we about, you know, making abortion rare? Isn't that what we say we're about? And my supervisor said, you know, Abby, you've really got to get your priorities straight. Abortion needs to be your priority because that's where our money is. And that was really when I thought this mission that I have been so diligently working for, the mission that they say they promote, is not really what they're trying to promote. It's false. It's a farce. I never saw it until I heard those words come out of her mouth that abortion needed to be my priority. And I simply told her, abortion will never be my priority. Preventing abortion is my priority. That was the beginning of the end.
You're listening to a Life Issues radio special, A Change of Heart, One Woman's Journey from Planned Parenthood to Pro-Life, with Brad Mattis and guest Abby Johnson. And Brad, we just heard from Abby how she finally saw the light about the true nature of Planned Parenthood. That was quite a moment, huh?
Well, Bill, this is an incredible revelation by somebody on the inside of Planned Parenthood. She's admitting that money is their priority and that the money is in the abortions that they do. We call it an abortion industry for a reason. Abortion is a cash cow for Planned Parenthood, and finally, that information is coming out from those who work on the inside.
Yeah, you know, the old adage is that if you want to get to the bottom of something, follow the money. And never was that more true than in this case. Now, Abby's story has, of course, been all over the mainstream media. She was even discussed by the ladies on ABC's The View. Barbara Walters brought up the subject, and then I think it was Joy Behar who opined, oh, abortion should not be about money. But, of course, Brad, as you just said, the opposite is true. Let's take a listen to what was said.
She said that the bosses pressured her to keep the abortions coming because there's not as much money in family planning as there is in abortion. So that created quite a sensation.
That's really gross.
Yeah.
Well, What's gross?
The idea that they're making money at it. It's just obnoxious.
But they
do. It's a service that's legal and that which should be provided to women. To say that it's a money-making, it's like healthcare. I don't see healthcare as a profit-making industry. I don't see abortions as a profit-making industry. I think that is the real immorality of it.
Well, I know when I was considering an abortion, I went to a Planned Parenthood in Los Angeles, California, and when I sat there in front of that lady, she wanted me to fill out the form, and she was rushing me through, and I said to her, I was 17, and I said, I'm not quite sure what I should do, and she was pressuring me to get the abortion. We ended up leaving because I was just scared, but they never gave me any alternatives or any other thing.
Now, that last comment was from actress Sherry Shepherd, and it's further evidence that counseling at Planned Parenthood facilities is far from adequate.
Absolutely. What we've heard from woman after woman after woman is that abortion wasn't presented as a list of options for her to consider. It was the option and the only option presented to them at that time. In fact, Bill, I asked Abby about that very thing about Planned Parenthood's counseling.
They do not really give them informed consent about the abortion procedure itself. They do not adequately tell them about the risks of abortion. They do not give them options on the day that they come in for their abortion procedure. They do not give enough training to the women that are talking. This all became very important to me toward the last 2 to 3 years that I was there. This issue of informed consent. Are we talking to women about the risk? Are we giving women their options when they come in for abortion? This all became very important to me. This became an issue that I really wanted to look at and develop some kind of standardization. So what I did was I went into a lot of facilities. At my facility that I supervised, I actually went to some adoption agencies in town. I got an adoption agency to come in and do some in-service training with my staff. You know, I went to the Medicaid office. I got a bunch of information. I mean, so I really wanted my staff to be trained on all of the issues for different options and, you know, things like that. And I thought that was just standard at all the facilities. I thought, well, if I'm doing this, surely everybody's doing this. What I found was that nobody had one stitch of information about adoption in their facilities. Their staff did not have any training on adoption, none. And that the health center directors that were there were not really interested in receiving any kind of training on adoption or talking to women about parenting. They're only experts in abortion. So, you know, the sad thing is that a lot of women, if they're in, you know, kind of a something that's deemed a crisis pregnancy, they think that they can go to Planned Parenthood for options counseling, but that's not what they're going to receive. You know, if you ask a counselor at Planned Parenthood, you know, when does my baby have a heartbeat? They have no idea. And you'll probably get four different answers.
What was your experience when you tried to provide thorough counseling?
They didn't want to take the time.
So they discouraged you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't want to take the time. They didn't want to close down their clinic. That wasn't important. As long as they knew about abortion, that was really all that mattered because that's how they're making money in their facilities anyway. So that's really all that matters. They don't make money on adoption referrals. They don't make money on prenatal information. They make money on abortion.
Brad, we've done a program in the past on adoption, which is a tremendous option for women, and yet not a word about it, according to Abby. I guess we know the real reason why that's the case.
Yes, all you have to do is look at Planned Parenthood's annual report, and you can see how many adoption referrals they do versus how many abortion procedures they do. Clearly, they're following the money. The money's in abortion.
And Brad, another off-limits word at Planned Parenthood seems to be father. He's not welcome either, is he?
No, he's not. And that's one of the questions I asked Abby. What exactly is the role of a man during an abortion? And how does the abortion industry view his presence and participation?
Men are generally not wanted in the facility. If a woman even talks about the man in her life wanting to be involved in the decision of her abortion, if the woman says, well, you know, my boyfriend or my husband really doesn't think this is the best choice, then all of a sudden the facility workers will get very angry and say, you know, well, this isn't his decision. This is your decision. There's no sense that the man is even, you know, has a voice in the decision with the woman. One thing that I've talked about before is how there seems to be this parallel with the feminist movement and the abortion movement. And that's something that Planned Parenthood has really embraced. And it's something that I have always thought is kind of offensive as a woman, and something that was always kind of troubling for me, because the feminist movement basically says that if a woman has an unplanned pregnancy, that the strong decision to make is to terminate that pregnancy. And that is offensive to me as a woman, because how dare someone say that I'm not strong enough to handle an unintended pregnancy? I'm a woman. I can handle an unintended pregnancy. I can be a mother. I mean, women are made to be maternal. And so that's something that has always that always didn't wash for me while I was working there.
Once again, you're listening to A Change of Heart, One Woman's Journey from Planned Parenthood to Pro-Life, Brad Mattis's conversation with Abby Johnson. I'm Bill Wright, and at this point I just need to advise parents of young children to please use discretion for the next few minutes, as Abby's going to speak frankly about her eyewitness view of an abortion, an incident, by the way, that changed her thinking and her life. And here's how the conversation continued.
Abby, was there one moment when your eyes were opened and you realized what you were doing was wrong?
Most Planned Parenthood clinics and most large abortion facilities do not do ultrasound-guided procedures because they take about 5 minutes longer. But this doctor, the woman that he was doing this procedure on, was 13 weeks pregnant. And he had chosen to do her abortion through ultrasound guidance. And so he needed an extra set of hands, literally, to hold the ultrasound probe in place on her abdomen during the procedure. As the director of the facility, on days that we did abortions, I was really just kind of there for client flow direction. I could pretty much do anything in the facility except for the abortion. So if somebody needed to go on break, if we were short staffed somewhere, I could just pop in and out of whatever position needed to be filled.
So Abby, as you went into the surgical suite, you thought this was more or less a mundane operation, perhaps a learning opportunity. But what happened that changed your life forever?
They called me in to the room, and he told me what he needed me to do. So I held the ultrasound probe in place, and I looked up at the screen, and I saw a perfect profile of a 13-week-old baby. I saw the baby from head to foot, and it wasn't moving or anything. And I think at that point I was actually thinking, this is going to be really interesting because this is the first time I've ever seen something like this. So I was thinking, this is going to be a really good learning experience for me because I've never seen an ultrasound perform or an abortion performed this way. So then I saw the cannula, and the cannula is the instrument that's hooked up to the suction machine. You could actually see that go into the uterus, and the suction's not on at this time. He's just trying to get the correct placement. I saw the cannula go in, and it was the cannula started to poke the baby in the ribs, and then all of a sudden it was like the baby woke up and started moving its arms and legs and was trying to get away from the probe and was fighting to move away from that cannula. And then, I mean, just like somebody just slapped me, I just thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm about to watch this happen. And so many things were just going through my head. I mean, I really just wanted to sit this woman up and just say, you know, look at what is happening. I mean, look at what is about to happen to your baby. It was kind of like, you know, people say it's like a train wreck, like you don't want to look, but you can't stop looking. That's what it was like for me. I did not want to see what was about to happen on the screen, but I couldn't stop looking. I mean, I was horrified. I was thinking about all of the women that I had lied to, the hundreds of women that had asked me. I mean, women ask so many questions before they go in for an abortion procedure, but one of the very common questions that I had received is, will my baby feel this? And my answer had always been no, absolutely not. That was the answer that I thought was true. That was the answer that Planned Parenthood had told me was true. And I knew that I had been lying for all of those years. And I was just thinking, what if they had known the truth? Would they have still made that choice? I saw the baby's body. When they do an abortion, they take the cannula and they literally twist the cannula around in the woman's uterus. And I saw the baby's body just begin to twist in the uterus. And the last thing that I saw before the uterus was empty was, you know, babies in the uterus, they have a perfectly formed little backbone and you can see it in the uterus. And that was the last thing I saw on the screen before, you know, the uterus was black. But it was at that moment that I just thought, never again. And I thought, I don't know why I was in here. I don't know why it's taken me, you know, basically 8 years for my eyes to be opened and for me to see the truth. But I was in here for a reason, and I saw that for a reason.
Oh, Brad, this cuts to the heart of what abortion really is. What a sobering moment.
And, Bill, what was so dramatic and heart-changing for Abby was that she realized she saw the death of another human being. She witnessed that death. And after that point, after seeing such a dramatic and horrifying thing, she realized she'd never be the same again.
Well, after this moment, then what did Abby do?
Well, that was my next question for Abby. I asked her how witnessing such a horrific death impacted her professional life.
I went back to work that day and had just kind of made up my mind that that was it. I went home that day and told my husband, I really don't want to go back. And so we prayed about it that night and both really just felt like we needed to take that step of faith and that we really knew that God would provide for us if I left. And so I went back on the 6th and packed up my stuff and I put in my resignation.
Abby, as you made your way out of that abortion mill for what would be the last time, what was going through your mind?
I'll never forget the way I felt. I felt like I was almost floating because I felt like something had been lifted off of me that was so heavy. I mean, it was a physical feeling of being unburdened. And it was a feeling of peace and joy that I had not felt in years because I felt very heavy, you know, very heavy-hearted for so long. I don't have that internal struggle anymore.
As a result of Abby's journey, she was uniquely qualified to give advice on what would be the best way to reach those who are involved in the abortion process. And here's what she told me.
There is no room for any anger, any hostility out there on that sidewalk in front of the abortion clinic. The women going in there, the clinic workers going in there, they are broken. They need healing. Many, many of the clinic workers inside of an abortion facility have already had abortions themselves. That's one of the reasons that they feel very drawn to work at a Planned Parenthood clinic. So they are in need of healing. They are in need of compassion. Any kind of harassing behavior is not the way that you're going to change hearts and minds. You know, being there and showing them that we do care about them, that we do respect them, and that we may not respect their decision, and we may not like the sin, but we love the sinner. That really needs to be the message.
Abby, you may have an opportunity to talk to somebody right now who's considering an abortion or possibly had one. What is your advice to her?
If you're considering having an abortion, you need to know your baby has a heartbeat. If you have found out that you're pregnant, then you're at least 3 weeks pregnant, and that's when your baby begins to have a heartbeat. At the end of your abortion procedure, there's going to be someone piecing your baby back together, and they're going to know if you had a boy or a girl. It's not a mass of cells in your body. It's not just some tissue. It is a baby. It is living, and it's depending on you. And there's no amount of resources that can't be gotten. There's no amount of help that can't be found. There are people that can help you, and there's no good reason to have an abortion, but convenience is the absolute worst reason to have an abortion because you will look back on that and you will say, why did I do that? If people said, you know, I'm going to wait until the right time to have a baby, nobody would have a baby. There's never a right time to have a baby. You never have enough money. You never have a big enough house. You're never stable enough to have a baby financially. But for whatever reason, God has chosen this time for you to be with this child. And there is a plan for you, and there's a plan for this baby. And you need to follow through with that.
Well, Brad, it's obvious that a real change of heart occurred for Abby Johnson. Powerful insight there.
And in particular were her comments to women to understand that if you choose abortion, you're going to experience some things that you never imagined you'd experience.
And you know, today's conversation with Abby Johnson was just part of what you two discussed. There's more that's available as the TV special Life Issues has produced.
We're very pleased to offer that full interview, that two-part TV episode that I did on my interview with Abby, available to those who'd like to receive it.
And friend, to find out how to get your free copy while supplies last, just visit lifeissues.org, where you can also keep up to date on what's happening from the pro-life point of view.
Our message needs to be, there's hope, there's healing, and there's forgiveness after an abortion. So if you are one of those people who are listening to our voices now, who've experienced abortion, and you're hurting, please contact us. We'll provide the counselor you need free of charge, and we'll get you back on the road to hope and healing.
Well, thanks for those words of comfort, Brad. Thank you for listening to this Life Issues radio special. And as always, we invite you to stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.